Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This has been an exciting summer for the Philbrook Museum of Art. In addition to their wonderful Claude Monet exhibit, which continues through September, the museum has continued to celebrate their 75th anniversary with a number of smaller exhibitions, including a photographic exhibit from the end of the Great Depression years. Russell Lee was a photographer who, like his colleagues Dorothea Lange, Walker Evans, Arthur Rothstein, and Ben Shawn, worked for the New Deal-era Farm Security Administration, documenting the effects of the Depression and the Dust Bowl on the rural poor. Lee worked throughout the country, but at the end of the 30s, he specialized on Oklahoma. Hard Times, Oklahoma, 1939-40, the documentary photography of Russell Lee features over 25 of his photographs of tenant farmers in Salisaw and McIntosh County, migrant workers in Weber's Falls, Warner and Prague, and community camps in Oklahoma City, as well as migrant families on the move in Oklahoma, and tells a story of hard times and resilience and desperate times and despair. The photos are on display in the Spotlight Gallery at Philbrook through October 26th. And I'm joined today by the chief curator, Catherine Whitney, who's also the curator of American art and this particular show. Catherine Whitney, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich. I'm happy to be here.
This is exciting times for Philbrook. You've had a lot of people coming through the museum for the Monet exhibition.
That's right.
And as chief curator, you don't want them to go just to the temporary gallery where the temporary show is. You want to see the collection. And that's one of the things you've been doing in the museum is changing out and moving things around. And this show is a result of that. Photography show devoted to Russell Lee. Now, who was Russell Lee?
So Russell Lee was a social documentary photographer who photographed mostly in the 1930s, and he was a Farm Security Administration photographer. Farm Security Administration was basically a government agency that was a New Deal program set up by FDR, and its goal was to basically document what was going on in America in the 30s, often called the Dirty 30s because of the remnants of the Dust Bowl and the very severe economic and environmental tragedies that had really manifested throughout the country. So Russell Lee and some of his colleagues, fellow Farm Security Administration photographers, people like Dorothea Lange, Walker Evans, really tried to document rural parts of America and really take its portrait. And then use these images not only as historical documents for the government, but also to kind of get these images out to magazines, posters, newspapers to report on the plight of rural poverty in America and hopefully increase aid.
Of course, these were tremendously influential in our history. I mean, when you think of migrant workers in California, you think of Dorothea Lange's
right.
Madonna in a pea-picking camp
right.
in Northern California
right.
in the rain. You think of Arnold Rothstein's Dust Bowl pictures in Cimarron County here in Oklahoma.
Right.
You think of Walker Evans' depictions of poverty. And you think of Russell Lee. Probably the most famous photograph I know of him is of a African-American gentleman standing between two signs saying whites and coloreds, and he's drinking from a colored drinking fountain,
right, right.
which was nothing more than a cooler set on a stand.
Right. Right.
And these are different pictures, but yet they tell us a strong story about the era.
Right. And I think Russell Lee is perhaps not as well known as Dorothea Lange and Walker Evans. He was extremely prolific, actually contributed about 30% of the overall production of the negatives for the Farm Security Administration archive. But he didn't have that singular image that Dorothea Lange has. You talk about the migrant mother that's so poignant and so very well known. He has a lot of very similar images, but not that kind of one image. So if you look at his images, you'll sense the sort of style that he had. And he had that similar sense of humanism and documentation, great, great sense of organization as a photographer. His compositions are really complex and compelling, but is not as much of a household name as Dorothea Lange is, but he was with those other photographers and really made a name for himself. He photographed for about 40 years, but really this period from 36 to 42 is his best known era.
He kind of has a painterly look to his photographs in a way, especially the still lifes. He has these still lifes. There's a section devoted to still life mm-hmm. in the show. And these still lifes, they're timeless compositions, except you're looking at a tar paper shack
right.
with one little piece of furniture in the edge. You're seeing wallpapers that are done in magazine covers and newspapers. In fact, there's one image where it's here in Oklahoma, and on the pages, it looks like the Tulsa Tribune, there's a big Philbrook.
I know. I had to put that one in the show. That was from February of 1940. Uh-huh. And it's a little girl who is a tenant farmer's daughter, basically peeling peas for dinner.
Yes. And you know, that was a wonderful photograph because you could tell that girl was wearing her best dress.
Right, right.
You know, it was a stage photograph, and right. She was wearing her best dress. And, you know, it was a little gingham thing. You know, she's just cute as a bug.
Right.
And she's preparing dinner. But in the background, you know, her wallpaper are old newspapers from Bristow and
right.
the Tulsa Tribune and you know, just stories of everything and right. anything under the sun. And the wonderful thing about that photograph is you get a sense of enough of those newspapers to see what's on their walls and what they're looking at
right.
every day.
I thought that was a really nice way to show context of that time period. And Philbrook had just opened 5-6 months prior to that, so that was kind of a neat context. And Russell Lee really used, like you said, he was a master of still life. He used unbeautiful objects and stacked them in these really compelling ways. Sometimes they were stacked, they were kind of cluttery, they were askew. And lots of times there are not human beings in the compositions, but they reference this kind of sadness, the sense of loss and loneliness through the objects that were either sort of mass-produced and not very precious or handmade things. So you really get a sense of the poverty and the loneliness. As you said, the newspaper on the walls, Lee really used words a lot. He used them really powerfully, both with signs, newspapers, and he used them to kind of set context, imply tone, but also to add this almost texture. And you were talking about the floral dress that this little girl has, and that set against the kind of almost busy graphic element on the back that's kind of decaying. And it's really, as I said, they're compelling photographic images because of that texture as well as words. And
there's an image in the still life section which mm-hmm. gives you also a sense of how people may do.
Right.
You know, if you are the child of depression parents, and I am one, they keep everything.
Right.
They figure out a new way to use it. And one of the very first images in the still life section is this mailbox.
Right.
And the mailbox is basically attached to a wheel and half of an axle, which obviously had broken.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I can't afford a fence post, so what have I got?
Right.
I got this broken axle. I'll just shove it into the ground and attach the mailbox to the wheel.
Right. And that's such a potent image, too, because it talks about, you know, somebody almost waiting to receive word from outside. It's this barren landscape. It's, as you said, throwing together discrepant objects to make a statement, set a tone, and it also implies road, you know, all these migrant families that had to literally just sort of get on the road and try to find better opportunities elsewhere.
There's also a couple images which sort of juxtapose this extreme poverty, too.
Mm-hmm.
And even though those images don't really show great wealth, there's a shoe store display in Muskogee
right.
where, you know, we're looking at people who are wearing rags or cotton shifts. Mm-hmm. That's the only dress they have for the mm-hmm. photograph. Yet here's a shoe store with these beautiful leather shoes in display, and or the concession stand at a streetcar terminal where you see this, you know, here are these people, say, in Warner, Oklahoma, or McIntosh County, and just in horrible poverty. And then you have the cities where things are a little better.
Yeah, not everybody was destitute, I think, and he really photographed rural poverty, but there were actually about 3 migrant camps in Oklahoma City at this time. So you had a mixture of people that were still doing okay and struggling but could buy their streetcar tickets regularly and, you know, images of people selling them. And so life went on, and he wanted to document that life was still going on but that there was these sort of incongruities in terms of the very rich and those that were still getting by.
Now, the show's in 4 sections. We've been talking a little bit about the still life and interiors section of the show. There's another one that's devoted to children.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Migrant Woman earlier. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that is a wonderful Madonna pose. And he has a Madonna pose in this as well. And I'm wondering if they were directed to do that. Do you know?
Roy Stryker, who headed up the Farm Security Administration and hired Russell Lee, as well as a lot of the other photographers, of which there were two dozen, maybe up to 30, only about six working at one time. He really advised his photographers. He would come and visit them and travel on the road with them for 2 weeks. He would write them extensive letters that Russell Lee said were almost like his way of keeping in touch with these other photographers and figuring out what was going on. Russell Lee was definitely aware of Dorothea Lange and her image, and I think he saw it all around him. He saw it in the towns. He saw, you know, Roy Stryker encouraged these people not to just zoom in, photograph these people, then zoom back to the cities. He said, live with them, get to know the dusters, taste the dirt. And whether that meant sort of a young mother or a nursing mother who was next to her jalopy loaded up with all their worldly goods, or if it was, you know, a child left to their own while their parents were farming during the day. He really tried to get these slice of life images, and his children were really, that's where Russell Lee, I think, excelled beside his still life, was his views of children. I think he looked at Dorothea Lange, but he tried to kind of make it his own as well.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Migrant Woman is there's a special coming up about Dorothea Lange, mm-hmm. and you see the pictures surrounding the one that we know, mm-hmm. and you get a pullback of the tent. The tent is out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And when you pull back even further, there is a field that is just like flooded with nothing but beans. The car's broken down. It just, you don't have a sense of the desolation until you see that picture in context with its surroundings.
Right.
But that community camp photo, Madonna and Child in Oklahoma City, this was mm-hmm. this was a city camp, an urban camp.
Right.
Yet that struggle was still apparent.
It was pretty dire in all the camps, regardless if they were very rural or even urban.
There's another photograph of some children mm-hmm. in a May Avenue camp. And, of course, May Avenue is right in the heart of Oklahoma uh-huh. City. They're dressed in sacks.
Right.
Gunny sacks. It's pretty amazing.
It's so sad. And it's they're just such poignant images. But one thing I do want to say about Russell Lee, his children, some of them were really dire and very tragic. But he also was able to capture this almost sense of hope that you see and that you think of when you think of childhood innocence and sense of optimism. There was always this little, not always, but some of the images had sparks. Like you had this little group of kind of naughty little boys who were scheming something.
Yes,
and it felt almost like a Winslow Homer.
It was in a day laborer camp in Weber Falls.
Right.
Yeah, right. And yes, that irrepressible,
something,
irrepressible
right.
spirit does
right.
show up.
That's a good
image.
Way to put it, irrepressible spirit.
Yeah, and there's other ones where there's formal portraits where, you know, these kids are on their best behavior. There's one of children of tenant farmers in McIntosh County, and, you know, they're dressed up. And you can see they're putting on their best public look for this photograph. But what he's done in the background is up on the pegs behind them are their coats.
Right.
And the coats are rags.
Right.
This very powerful documentary photography.
Beautiful children. I mean, this mm-hmm. would be a beautiful Christmas photograph or an Easter photograph. But you're right. You look at it and you think rags, and it's you see a little sadness in their eyes. But that was one of my favorite photographs.
I mean, and I think that's the beauty of his artwork or his photography is the fact that he will show us something where people are putting their best face on mm-hmm. what was bad conditions, and you know they have that spirit in there. But in the background, he's letting us know how bad things really are.
How bad it really was, right? He and his wife, there was a oral history taken by the National Archives in 64. And there was an interview, and they really talked about this sort of sense of endurance and perseverance that these people had. And I think he's trying to portray that, too, that they wanted almost to portray their sense of survival and their sense of hope, but also that they knew these images were getting out and it might actually help them if they kind of played the part. But yes, seeing in the background how dire things were, it was, as I said, there's some incongruities in his work and a lot of haves and have-nots and joy and tragedy all in the same composition.
I love the little kid that's selling the ice-cold pop.
Mm-hmm.
This is children stand in Muskogee where the little kid, man, he's you know selling it for a penny, but boy, he's out to make money.
And talk about that sparkle in his eye. And that's also a great example. I mean, the little boy definitely steals the show in that one, but also the sense of texture that we talked about, you know, the wood slats and the kind of geometric composition around the boy. I think it's a really beautiful photograph.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
well.
It comes to the, again that painterly sort of mm-hmm. classical sort of way of setting up
right.
a photograph.
And he had trained actually as a painter. And for about 5 years, he trained at the Art Student League in New York and was in the Woodstock Art Colony. and trained under John Sloan, actually, who was an important American painter, and married a woman named Doris Lee, who was sort of an American scene painter. But he really just – he couldn't find his voice and his expression in painting, and he bought a camera in 1935 and realized that was his medium.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned Doris Lee because you've actually hung a picture in the American galleries upstairs of Doris Lee. And I was not familiar with her, but she almost has that sort of Grandma Moses primitive look prior to Grandma Moses.
Right, yes.
Because it's early 50s, I think.
It is 50s, I think around 54, and that's a good way to describe it. But she was sort of an American scene painter, and this is a fun scene that illustrated a magazine cover for a corporate institution, and it was talking about shunpiking, which was when the turnpike system was built in the 50s in America. There was sort of this movement about, yes, still use the rural routes and use the rural roads, like Route 66. So this was actually a blacksmith shop that had been converted into a gas station and a filling station and repair shop. So it's kind of looking at traditional America and the introduction of modernity and how to kind of negotiate those two worlds.
Now, is it done in that primitive style because it's of the subject matter?
Not necessarily. That was kind of a more naive type of painter. Yeah.
Okay. My guest today is Catherine Whitney, the chief curator and curator of American art at the Philbrook Museum of Art. Philbrook has a lot of shows right now. Of course, everybody knows about the big Monet show, and I guess you've had great audiences for
that. We've had great reception to that. We couldn't be happier. It's just, I think it's a beautiful installation. People have been thrilled. We've had a lot of new visitors, repeat visitors, and I encourage you all to come. It closes September 21st, so it's a great opportunity for Philbrook, and we have loans from the largest and most important institutions across the country and some international loans as well. So it's a real, I think, a coup for us and a great offering for Tulsa.
And while you're visiting the Monet, you need to see the rest of the museum, because one of the things I really appreciate about what Philbrook is doing is you're constantly changing out what we're going to see in the what we would call the permanent collection. Mm-hmm. Every time I go, I see something new.
Great.
Is that a purposeful philosophy?
Absolutely. We try to mix it up, always have something new. We don't want people to say, oh, yeah, I've been to Philbrook. I was there in third grade. So much changes. There's so much going on all the time, from programming to our installations. And we really do try to freshen things. The space that Russell Lee show is currently in is called our Spotlight Gallery, and that changes every 3 to 4 months and really focuses on our permanent collection, usually works on paper, things that might not necessarily get the wall time next to larger paintings. And then in our painting galleries, we try to mix those up when we can, and sometimes we just need to swap things out because it works on paper and we don't want to expose them for too long and need to rest them for preservation purposes.
Yeah. There's also, I should mention, in the American Gallery, because Tulsa, the Central Library is closed, you have this gorgeous painting that people probably have walked by and hardly ever seen in Central Library, and it's lit beautifully, and it just glows. And it is a large urban scene by Kroll.
Kroll, Albert Kroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kroll was a turn-of-the-century painter who really he was trained by and taught at the academy and was sort of an academic painter, but he was friends and kind of ran in the circles with more insurgent painters like Robert Henri and George Bellows. And so he had this real luscious brushwork and bright colors and kind of sense of capturing the pulse of America, as a lot of the Ashcan artists did. And this is a fabulous painting. I mean, this is a great American painting. And it's big, and as you said, it's luscious, and it has these kind of hunched over laborers in the shadows under an arcing Brooklyn Bridge and the illuminated skyscrapers in the background and the puffing tugboats. And it's great.
Yeah, it has
so
a lot of energy.
So we're thrilled to have it on loan.
Yeah. Right now we're talking about the new show at Philbrook devoted to the photography of Russell Lee, Hard Times, Oklahoma, 1939-40, photographs taken during the Depressions through a New Deal program where photographers went out and documented the landscape, and it's set here in Oklahoma. We've been talking about some of the areas. There's also two other focuses of the show, Slices of Rural Life and On the Road. And, of course, On the Road has some very iconic images of dusters making their way. In fact, a couple of images of a Texas family who apparently have ended up somewhere around Salisaw at the time, maybe heading east. And great pictures. This, again, one, he does a wonderful job of putting things in context. A great portrait of the family in the front seat. And then another just sort of almost like a still life in a way of the back end of the truck they're driving in, just packed to the gills with a wash tub hanging off the back. It's very, very poignant.
And a metal milk carton for water and sort of all their earthly goods, but condensed down. This show forced me to reread Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, and I'm right in the middle where they're kind of traveling and the car's broken down and they're trying to decide, do they need to thin out and what earthly possessions to take and how many people can they fit in the car. And so it's kind of a nice context. But I did want to say that Russell Lee was extremely inspired by Steinbeck, particularly for these photographs, which he took in Oklahoma. So Steinbeck's book is 75 years old, and as is Philbrook, it's our 75th anniversary. So we thought this would be a nice show to kind of commemorate that and reference Steinbeck's book. And we actually have a nice loan from the McFarland Library to you of a first edition copy of Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. But Lee had read that, and he was powerfully moved by it and literally went to Oklahoma to try to find oaky subjects to photograph, like Steinbeck's characters, and even consulted with a professor at OU to try to figure out what communities he should visit and how could he find these migrant families, or exodusters, as they were sometimes called. He didn't have luck finding one family that he could follow all the way through to California. I think he said most of them got as far as like Muskogee, and you know, plans changed or he burned out or whatnot. But the whole idea, I think, it really captures this. They really captured this era and what was going on and how dire it was.
Yeah, the most poignant picture in this section is this woman in Muskogee in a little cotton white shift. I would think it just barely covers her.
Right.
And she's packing little odds and ends in this tiny little box, and apparently they're leaving for Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderfully composed, and it's just a very, very powerful photograph.
Right. Standing on a – crouching on a dirt floor, very, mm-hmm. very humble objects that she's trying to fit in this tiny box of about probably not even 5 by 7 inches.
A cigar box
exactly.
Or less.
And putting thread in and trying to anticipate what they might need on the road. And, you know, the decisions they probably had to make, like what photographs and what family heirlooms they couldn't carry with them. And so that kind of shows her very quietly pulling together – what was her history, her family history, and what could go with her.
Yeah. There's a couple other photographs in that section which show a very different side. There's a migrant work camp around Prague, mm-hmm. and there's a young man sitting on a blanket playing a guitar. Cars in the background. There are people in the background sort of preparing a meal,
mm-hmm.
it looks like.
And a picnic, right?
Yeah. And that was a wonderful photograph. And then this wonderful blackberry pie, migrant lunch around Fort Gibson, and it's laid out on an Oklahoma Conoco map.
Right,
I thought that was
right.
really good. It was just,
see the Southwest.
Yeah.
Maybe not the way you would want to, but not the road trip you would choose for your vacation.
But again, getting back to those backgrounds,
right.
he was so meticulous about what he's putting in the background as well as the subject matter right. in the foreground.
And also sort of referencing, you know, what do you eat when you're that poor and you're on the road? Blackberries, you know, mm-hmm. let's eat that for lunch. But that's, again, getting back to his still lives and his words and his use of signage that really kind of layered his photographs with all sorts of references and layers of meaning.
And there's also the last section, Slice of Rural Life. It looks at a variety of, they're almost portraits. They really mm-hmm. are portraits. Some African-American elderly folks waiting outside of a church in their Sunday finest. A WPA worker and wife in front of their home in Weber's Falls. This, and I say home with quotation marks,
tent,
because,
right.
yeah, it was a home in this case, but it was like about 10 by 10, it looks like. You know, it's like a tar paper shack.
Right, right. The young couple with the wagon to mm-hmm. the side, and then the older couple across the space from that is sort of Lee's American Gothic. You,
mm-hmm.
know, you have the kind of old husband and wife in front of their tent, and they moved into that migrant tent to save a couple dollars on rent and on the price of wood. And so these were choices people had to make. You know, do we want food or do we want to pay rent and price of wood to stay warm?
Yeah.
You have to move into a tent.
You mentioned American Gothic.
Mm-hmm.
Were these obvious influences for these photographers who were going around documenting places?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this time period, 36 to 42, really coincided with a lot of American scene painting. So, again, it was sort of the build-up to World War II, and there was a big emphasis on looking into America and looking at the heartland. And I think these photographers were saying, you know, this heartland is dying, and there's agony and pain here, and we really need to put a human face on it. It's not just these glowing, beautiful rolling hills of Grant Wood, but there's abject poverty here. And let's document that, put a human face on it, and show the sandblasted face and the struggle that these people were going through.
My guest today is Catherine Whitney, the Chief Curator and Curator of American Art at the Philbrook Museum of Art. Philbrook has a show in their, what do you call it, Spotlight Gallery?
Spotlight Gallery, yes.
Yeah, and it's upstairs, sort of in between the rotunda and, and the rest of the museum. A little small show featuring the documentary photography of Russell Lee, who worked for a New Deal agency. It's titled Hard Times, Oklahoma, 1939 and 40. Just sort of amazing images of Oklahoma during this time, where you think of 39 and 40 as being the end of the Depression, and what these photographs tell us, there were still plenty of people suffering as the 40s began. I want to talk about one other thing, which has happened to Philbrook, which we should mention. As chief curator, you're in, overall in charge, although this is not your area. You received a large gift of Hopi objects and artwork.
Yes, we did. It's thrilling and very exciting. Our curator of Native American and non-Western art, Christina Burke, will hopefully be coming on at a future date to talk about this. But this is an exciting gift we received of about 300 objects of contemporary Hopi kachinas or katsinas from Hopi. And this is a collector from Atlanta who had been collecting from about the 80s to the current day, and also has some baskets. But this is a really exciting prospect for us because it really supplements our very strong collection of Native American art at Philbrook. And this is kind of adding a new area of strength for us, which was quite exciting. Which,
so you don't have any of those kachinas or very few?
We have very few. And this is, we have some in the Atkins collection. And this was just kind of an area that really enhances some of our other deep, deep strengths, like our Southwestern pottery collection and our basketry collection, which is one of the best in the country. So
when you have the basketry, you have the pottery, and now you have this other area of art.
Right, and we also are very strong in paintings as well, mostly because of the Indian Annual in that show.
Have I heard rumors that the Indian Annual might be coming back, or at least an incarnation of the annual?
A sort of, I guess it's a celebration and almost a retrospective, if you will, of the Indian Annual. So yes, that will be our next show after the Monet in Helmrich. And this is a major project that Christina Burke has been working on. And it's basically looking at the Indian Annual, which was a major show and sale that Philbrook hosted every summer from 46 to 79 of Native American art. And it was focus mostly on fine art and painting, which was a little different than some of the other art shows around the country, and really looked across the nation, not just at Southwestern art like Indian Market did in Santa Fe, and really highlighted some of the top contemporary Native artists of the day. And Philbrook ended up acquiring a lot of the prize winners, and hence our collection is so strong now. But they also had not only Native American applicants and exhibitors, but judges. So that was kind of special. So Christine is going to talk about how this show evolved, what it meant to Philbrook, and how it influenced a lot of the other collections around the country, the Herd and some other museum collections that purchased from our show.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. In the meantime, there's the Monet exhibit, and upstairs, don't miss the documentary photography of Russell Lee. Catherine, thanks very much for joining
us. Thanks, Rich. It was great.
Catherine Whitney is the Chief Curator and Curator of American Art at the Philbrook Museum of Art, which recently opened a new exhibit, Hard Times, Oklahoma, 1939-40, the documentary photography of Russell Lee. It continues on display through October 26th. Information at philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.